join in the fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
You mean you're going somewhere else for a holiday this year, Bentley?
Yes.
You're not going to the holiday camp?
No, not this year. It means I'll probably lose my title in the Knobbly Knees Championship. But I'd rather retire undefeated. You got any ideas about holidays yet, Jim?
Only vaguely. I thought I'd just chuck something in a trunk and get out of the country.
What were you thinking of chucking in a trunk?
You.
Oh, Jimmy, you sly old fox. Of course I'll go on a holiday with you.
Bentley, I don't want you to think that that's what I'm...
There's no need to drop indirect hints. Come straight out with what you're thinking.
Oh, if I come straight out with what I'm thinking, we'll be off the air in a flash of blue sparks.
No, Jim, let's take our holiday together. We'll get away from it all. How about France? That's the place for girls, Jim. In France, they say, ow, ow.
They say, oui, oui.
That depends on your tactics. Ah, you'll love it, Jim. We'll stop at a little French wayside cafe for a chunk of vin rouge and a bottle of camembert. See a bit of the countryside. Find out what the other fellow thinks.
Bentley, I can tell you now what the other fellow thinks. No!
Jim, imagine that golden sun on the Riviera. Al McCogan's just got back from there and she's sunbathed for 4 hours on end.
Have got sunburned in a funny place.
No, just Juan Le Pen. Can you hear Dick there?
Yes.
And she's that color from head to toe.
Well, it certainly is a lovely stretch of coastline. Be nice to get somewhere entirely different.
Yeah, yes, entirely different. That's just it, Jimmy. Everything's so fresh and new. They have a battle of flowers, a film festival, a wine tasting gala, and best of all, something we can both enter for. Un grand concours d'élégance déjeuner.
What's that?
A Knobbly Knees competition.
Was a night, oh what a night it was, it really was such a night. The moon was bright, oh how bright it was, it really was such a night. The night was alive with stars above, and when he kissed me, I had to fall in love. It was a kiss, oh what a kiss it was, it really was such a kiss. How he could kiss, oh what a kiss it was, it really was such a kiss. Just the thought of his lips set me afire. I reminisce and I'm filled with desire. I give my heart to him in sweet surrender. How well I remember. Yes, I'll always remember. What a night it was, it really was such a night. Came the dawn, and my heart and his love, and the night was gone. But I know I'll never forget that kiss in the moonlight. Oh, what a kiss. Oh, what a night.
It's sickening, sir. It's absolutely sickening. It's simply a source of incessant, senseless stupidity. Why are you sidling away from me, sir?
Because into each life some rain must fall. But too much is falling in mine.
You know me, sir, disgusted of Tunbridge Wells, and I'll tell you what the source of my irritation is, sir. Women.
Women?
Well, now look at her, sir. She's just spent the winter wearing stockings, which she hopes are so fine, she'll look as if she's not wearing stockings.
Well?
She's now going to spend the summer not wearing stockings in the hope she'll get so brown, she'll look as if she is wearing stockings. Can you wonder I write letters of complaint?
You're going balmy. Mr. Disgusted, anybody who does a weekly radio program like ours has stopped wondering why people write letters of complaint. Look what happened after last week's program. Now, remember this bit?
I'm going to do a crude drawing of a bison.
Ugh, what is a bison?
It is what you use to do the washing up in. Now, Mr. Disgusted, we weren't particularly proud of that joke, but we thought it was harmless enough. Yet you should have seen the letters that came in about it.
Dear sir, I suppose you think it's clever mocking the underprivileged classes what have to do their washing up in a bison. It's time your program was exposed for what it is, a tool of the reactionary bourgeois class. Comes the revolution, it'll be us as'll have the stainless steel kitchens, and the likes of you won't be washing up in a bison.
Dear sir, I was told that last night you performed a joke about dirty dishes. While jokes about dirt are all right in their place, I have to consider my young daughter aged 42. Please remember that family life is the backbone of our nation and kindly send me a copy of the unsavory joke in a plain envelope. Yours sincerely, Cyril Fish.
Dear sir, that bison joke was the worst yet. The sooner you lot are taken off the air, the better. Talk about trash. I'd like to see you prosecuted for swindling the public. They ought to shoot the lot of you. Yours, a well-wisher.
And finally, a telegram.
Kindly delete all future bison jokes, as these jokes cause unnecessary suffering to certain people. Signed, Deputy Controller of BBC, T. McNeil Bison.
Get so lonely when I dream about you. Can't do without you. That's why I dream about you. If I could only put my arms about you, life would be so fair. If you were there, we two could hug and kiss and never tire. I'm on fire. You are my one desire. I get so lonely when I dream about you. Why can't you be there? Get so lonely when I dream about you. Can't do without you. That's why I dream about you. If I could only put my arms about you, life would be so fair. Baby, 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 oh baby mine. If I could only put my arms about you, life would be so, so very oh so.
Life would be so fair. Tithe's talking point. Once again, we meet the Grunns, our family of ordinary people coping with life. This week, their talking point is it right for a girl to learn to knit with her own hands, or should she use needles? Over to the Grunns.
Wrong. It's the first pullover I've ever knitted. It was a shame I lost the pattern halfway through. I do hope it fits. Is it comfy, Ron?
Yeah,
Well, pull it down over your head, Ron. Well, that's it. Now wriggle till it's straight. Well, the whole point is, Ron, it's casual wear. It's for your bike.
But I got a shed for my bike.
For you to wear on your bike, Ron. You'll be able to go for lovely cycling rides with that pullover, Ron, won't you?
No, Eff.
Why not?
I can't get my knees apart.
Oh, it is a bit long, isn't it? That's you getting soppy while I was counting the rows. Oh, what a shame, though. Well, I'll tell you what. Can't you tuck it in?
No, Eth.
But you must be able to tuck it in.
I can't, Eth. I can't find my arm.
Can't find... Oh, Ron. Of course. No armholes. Oh, I should never have tried to do it without the pattern. Oh, I've spoiled it.
No, Eth, it's perfect. Except for the gaudy colour and it's too long and there's no armholes and it itches and all.
Oh, Ron, I'll never knit anything for you again.
Oh, please, Eth, give us a kiss.
Oh, no, Ron, I don't want.
Oh, go on, Eth. Come inside my pullover with me. Come on.
Hello. Oh, that's what you're at, is it, Ron? You was too tired to fetch a bucket of coal, though. Well, get out of me way. I must have the car, Jack. Ron, where's the car, Jack? Ron, I told you what would happen if you kept biting your nails.
Mr. Glum, you know very well his arms are inside the pullover. If you're just going to pour ridicule, I wish I'd never started knitting it.
Oh, if I'm not pointing the finger of mock. It's a very creditable first effort. And warm, I'll bet. Looks a bit strange at first glance, but once you realise he's not standing inside a roll of lino, will you?
Well, I didn't like it at first, Dad. But I think it'll grow on me.
I think it's grown already. I'll swear it's longer than when I come in.
It's only a practice piece, Mr. Glum. Once we're married, I'll have to be able to knit because, well, one day there'll be some little blue booties wanted, eh, Ron?
Not all that little, Leth. I take size 11 and a half. See?
Ron.
Well,
I know what Eth's hinting at. Baby clothes. We still got the little things Ron's mum knitted for him. The booties and the mittens. The pixie hood, what the welfare recommended for training his ears back.
Oh, Dad.
We got them all stored away with other sentimental treasures. Ron's school reports. My army service record signed by the president of the court martial. And that gas poker we got on approval. Just sentiment, I suppose, but... Oh, where have the years gone? Mother! We was just talking about them little baby clothes. What you knitted with such loving care when our Ron was just a bundle of cattle.
Oh, Mr. Glum, did the memory make her cry?
No, I just remembered why I wanted the car, Jack, so urgent. She's got the wardrobe on her foot.
Picture you upon my knee, just tea for two and two for tea.
Me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends or relations on weekend vacations.
We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone.
Day will break and I'll away. Start to bake a sugar cake.
Just for me to take. For all the boys to see, we will raise a family, a boy for you, a girl for me. Can't you see how happy we would be?
brandies and soda, please.
Make mine a double, will you, Edwards?
I say, Edwards, have you noticed there's certain types of music that one always associates with eating?
What do you mean, things like Chopin's mayonnaise or selections from the dessert song?
I mean the sort of music that's played by those string trios you get in tea rooms, you know?
Oh, we know a lot about those trios, Your Grace. Oh, yes. No. Did you ever hear about the greatest tea room trio of them all?
No, I don't.
Well, hold your hat on, you're going to.
The scene is the Warming Pan Tea Room's Kettering, which features the Samuel Claygate string trio playing during afternoon tea. Unfortunately, the trio have just received their notice and are playing their last number for the Warming Pan customers.
Thank you. Thank you, music lovers of Kettering. This has been our swan song. An insane farewell. May I wish those of you who ordered the chef's special the very best of luck.
With these words, the Samuel Claygate trio upped instruments, filed sadly off the platform and into the washing up room for their hats and coats.
Bring your cello in here, Mildred.
Rachel.
17 years and now the bullet. Oh, I tell you, I feel just like I've been stabbed in the back.
Well, that's my fault, Samuel, I'm afraid. I must remember to carry my cello spike hindmost. I'm so upset, I...
Oh, there, Mildred. We'll find someone else. Just you climb into the double bass case and change. I'll keep KB.
Righto.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Claygate.
Hello.
May I say how much I enjoyed the trio's rendition of Jim's from Musical Comedy?
Oh, aye. Oh.
Well, it takes a fellow musician to appreciate the way you started on The Merry Widow, then switched to the Naughty Marietta and slipped into the Vienna Woods.
Ta very much. What do you mean, fellow musician? You're the dishwasher here, aren't you?
Only temporarily. This may come as a shock to you, but I am none other than Reg Figgins.
Well, who's he?
Me. You mean to say you never heard of Reg Figgins and his hot shot heralds of swing?
No.
Bringing you the sweetest music this side of Crouch End?
No, I'm sorry, I haven't. We don't poke our nose outside the world of the light classics, you know. Leha, Brahams and such. You know how it is, every man to his own muck heap.
Well, I tell you, I led a very popular combo before my accident.
Your accident?
Yes, I fell off the bandstand during the creep and got trepped on.
Well, that's show business. It's a great honour meeting you, Mr. Figgins, and I'd like you to meet my orchestra. Inside the bass case is my cellist, Miss Smallpiece. Are you done, Mildred? Well, when you're ready, lass, and that over there is the rest of my orchestra, Mr. Achester, the bass player.
Oh, he's a bit long in the tooth, isn't he?
Well, I wouldn't say that. He hasn't got any. He's a wonderful old gentleman, you know, no trouble. Just stand his double bass up, lean him against it, and he's asleep in a flash. He's asleep now.
Yes, but he's got one arm round the bass, and he's stumping the strings with the other.
Heaven knows what he's dreaming about. But they're grand musicians, you know. It's a right shame we're out of work.
Mr. Claygate, I've just had a sensational idea. Why don't we work together?
No, I don't think so. I'm not much on washing dishes.
No, I mean your trio plus my personality.
You want to force them?
No, just talk them into it. Mr. Claygate, all my life I've dreamed of an orchestra that will have a new sound. And this could be it.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to consult my string section. Ah, that's her wanting out. I always padlock it when she's changing. Not so much to lock her in as to lock Mr. Achester out. Here she is. Go on, step out, love.
Thank you.
Mildred, this gentleman with the dishcloth is a well-known band leader.
Oh, how nice to meet you.
I'm Reg Figgins, Miss Smallpiece, and the proposition is that I join your combo. Oh,
really? Well, what instrument do you play?
Well, I don't exactly play an instrument.
I'm strictly a personality boy.
I think it's a capital notion, and one well worth attempting a bash at.
Well, then it just remains to get Mr. Akister's okay. Mr. Akister? Mr. Akister! Oh, give him a kick, Mildred.
Righto, Mr. A, wake up!
Oh, it's my solo, is it?
And so began the Reg Figgins Tea Time Serenaders, conducted by Reg Figgins in person. And we set off on an extensive tour of the number one tea shops.
The Queen Anne Tea Rooms, Gosport.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, for my fiddle solo, I have plucked from the treasure trove of melody the famous Serenade from the Student Prince from the Student Prince. I will be accompanied on the bass by Mr. Akister. Righto, Mr. Akister, slap that bass.
What say, Mr. Clegg, eh?
I said slap that bass.
Righto.
Oh, Mr. Akister, how dare you?
Oh, yes, we were working all right, but I still hadn't found my new sound. And I had other trouble as well. This was a conversation I overheard one day between two of my best players.
Mildred, I can't go on like this, eating me heart out for you. Being jammed so near on that platform and what with the heat from the tea urn inflaming me further. Oh, Mildred, I can't keep me mind on me Volteufel.
Sam, dear, I like you as a friend, but...
It's not nearly enough, Mildred. Look, you don't want to play a cello all your life. Let's snatch at happiness while we can. I'm not getting any younger, and you... Your legs aren't getting any straighter.
Oh, Samuel, you're making me cry.
Don't weep, Mildred. I can't stand it when your bun wobbles. It's Reg Figgins, isn't it?
Oh, can you blame me, Samuel? It's that white mess jacket, that expansive smile.
Well, it's not more expensive than mine. I paid £8 for this set.
Samuel, Mildred.
Oh. What's up?
Yes, excuse me. I couldn't help overhearing. It's a very thin keyhole.
That's a funny
thing. Mildred, I'm very flattered, and I can quite understand why you think I'm wonderful. But there's no place in my career for romance.
Then I have bared my heart only to be spurned. Oh, I feel naked.
Well, Mildred, don't just stand there feeling naked. The show must go on. There's 45 people in that tea room waiting for our music to divert their attention from the food. Get into that double bass case and change.
Righto.
Oh, she's a grand one, you know. Reg, you said that to her for my sake. You've salvaged me love life. I'll be internally grateful.
Here! Where were you? We're on! I was halfway through a monastery garden when I realised I were up there by myself.
Oh, dear.
Quick, come on.
Come on, Mildred.
I can't get out. The door's stuck.
Oh,
what are we going to do?
Have they got your cello in there, Mildred?
Yes.
Well, there's only one thing for it. Mr. Akister, give me a hand.
Right, Joe.
We'll carry her on inside the double bass case. She'll have to pay inside it. And that was the start of our success. Reg gave me my heart's desire, and I gave him his. The thing he'd been looking for all his life. The new sound.
A cello played from inside a double bass case.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Reg Figgins and his new music bidding you farewell from the Royal Festival Hall. Tea rooms. So, it's good night all till the next time you hear...
The old native orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Boston in the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week and...
car.